I'm very adamant about the fact that this is not a book about religion. It's a book about God, and there is a difference. And so I don't care where your beliefs lie. If you have never believed in a higher power, or if you religiously go to church every day, this is for everybody.
This is the Age Slayers podcast with Tracy Lynn, the podcast for people over 40 who are ready to gain a second wind in life. In this podcast, you will learn tools on how to create the life you desire and deserve, as well as hear personal stories from people who have overcome challenges later in life. Tracy Lynn transformed her own life from a 25-year career in corporate America into living her purpose as a life coach and entrepreneur after the age of 40. She has helped hundreds of people discover what they are capable of at any age. If you are someone who seeks inspiration and guidance on how to make the rest of your life the best of your life, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Age Slayers Podcast, where creating your best life never gets old.
Welcome to another episode of the Age Slayers Podcast, where creating your best life never gets old. I am Tracy Lynn with Tracy Lynn Life Coaching, and I am here with Michelle Prohaska, who is a mom, a wife, and a friend to me and to a gazillion other people, and now author of a thought-provoking, just really feel-good book called Holy Bleep. That was not a coincidence. Learn to take your beliefs out of the box and see the magic in everyday life. Welcome to the podcast, my dear friend, Michelle.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Tracy. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. Yeah. And I know that you know the message that's in the book because you are one of my beta readers, and I appreciate that. So you have been such a huge help in this whole process. And of course, you're a great cheerleader for me too. Well, so
thank
I appreciate
you.
All that.
It was absolutely my pleasure. When you asked for me to be a beta reader, I was like, yeah, I'll take a look at it and kind of go through it. And I can't, you know, it's like very exciting. And I had a plan. I'm going to read like a chapter a day. And what ended up happening was I got so into this book, and it wasn't even completely written yet, but I was so into it, I couldn't put it down. It was so good. The stories in it and the lessons that you have, it's just, it's really remarkable. It's fun, educational, thought-provoking, heartwarming. It's all these magical things. So it was a really fun read. So
wow, those are a lot of really nice words. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely the truth. I'm going to start by giving our audience a little bit of a taste of what this book is, and then we'll really get into it a little more. I'm going to read a little bit of the introduction. This book is about my discovery of our connection to a magical, mysterious power. Some call this power God. Others call it the universe, higher spirit, higher power, the law of attraction. Call it what you want. I like to mix it up. It's real, powerful, and just waiting for us to connect to it. Once we make this true connection, we will realize we are not going through this thing called life alone. Many people are suffering from grief, loss, or lack, all of any kind. We feel all alone, like it's us against the world. We feel deserted or abandoned. But I'm here to tell you, you are not alone. There's a force of love so powerful and strong, with such a synchronized connection to all of creation, that once we learn to see it, we'll never feel alone again. I love it. Like right out of the gate, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the most needed book ever. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, let me just say it wasn't my idea. So it's been almost 13 years ago that my dad died unexpectedly. He had a brain aneurysm on Father's Day of all days, which anybody that knows that knew my dad would say that's totally Bernie, because he would think that's funny. Other people might not, but he would think that was funny. So he died unexpectedly And there we were up at Mayo Clinic in Rochester for like over 4 days until then he finally passed. And I saw and experienced so many things just during that time. And then things kept happening, like the things that were like drop your jaw on the floor kind of things that were seemed like coincidences or synchronicities, God winks, whatever, but they were just one of those things that just made me feel like, oh my gosh, like, did that really just happen? So I started like paying attention to those things, and they just kept after Dad died, they just kept happening and kept happening. And then I started getting impressed on me that I needed to share this story. So that's why I say, like, it wasn't my idea. Like, it was totally, like, impressed on me. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like any fun. Like, you want me to share this story about one of the most painful experiences of my entire life? That doesn't sound like fun at all. So I kept getting this impression. And then I had this opportunity at my church. I was a small group leader for my daughter's confirmation class. So we could share. So the leader reached out to all of us small group leaders and asking us to share. And so I'm like, okay, here's my opportunity. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to share. And when I got, there was like such a, it was a neat experience, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I was up on stage. I started crying, you know, and everything. And I get done. And at the end, like some other leaders came over to give me a hug, and I was just like, had this release come out, and I literally snorted super loud in this gal's ear. And I don't even hardly know this gal. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. Like add some insult to injury here. I really just snorted in her ear, and I like had this release come out of me. And then I heard, that was a nice start, but you're not done. And I'm like, oh my, you're kidding me. What? Like, that wasn't good enough. Like, what else do you want from me? And so, first of all, I've always thought people that quote unquote hear God, like, okay, they're either a Fruit Loop or they're way more special than I am, you know? But because I had been focusing so much on all these connections and realizing that I am connected to some higher power in this world, I really did start to like hear things, and not like it's a voice in the room with me. It's like coming from within me or something, but it's not me. Does that make sense? It sounds weird, but yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I kept getting these nudges. So all these signs that I kept seeing and all these coincidences that were not a coincidence kept showing up. And it was just nudge, 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 nudge. And so finally I'll go, okay. I'm gonna write the book. I'm going to share my story. And it started like, I thought my book has four parts, and part one is me sharing the story of all the things that happened when Dad died. And I thought that was going to be it. I thought that was going to be my book. I'm just going to share that. And then maybe people will connect to that and relate, or maybe just start to see that, oh, wow, maybe that is something more than just a coincidence. And then it's just blossomed from there. Yeah. Like it just turned into this whole, you know, you got to help people be able to connect and to tap into this and to give them some tools and some skills to help them along. Because once you, some of the stuff that happens can be freaking hilarious. Like, yeah. Like I've had it where I've like laughed until I cried. So it's like when things happen and it gets this excited energy within you, it just makes life so much more fun. I'm very adamant about the fact that this is not a book about religion. It's a book about God. And there is a difference. And so I don't care where your beliefs lie. If you have never believed in a higher power, or if you religiously go to church every day, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want everybody to believe that, yes, there is this higher power and we are connected.
Yeah.
And life can be crazy fun when we tap into that.
Yes, absolutely. Very cool. So this book was initially inspired by what you call an impression. Right. Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what that felt like or what an impression is.
It almost sounds like my own thoughts, but it's not my own thoughts. And like, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Because like, that's not even something that I would say or do but it also comes with this feeling, like there's like this feeling of awe, like, and throughout the book, I started writing, spelling out awesome with a capital A-W-E, because it's just like this thing of awe, like, holy bleep, like, where did that come from, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's all about that feeling that you get when these things happen, or when you just, yeah. And it's like, wow, that did not come from me, because that is not where my thought process was going at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with the title of the book being That Is Not a Coincidence, really the teaching behind this book has to do with, let's just not walk away from those nudges. Let's not walk away from those impressions that you have, those thoughts that you have, that you that you're being nudged, like you say, to do something. Pay attention to that, because it's not a coincidence. It's actually maybe God, the universe, the higher power, whatever it is for you, telling you something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and paying attention to those things are can be really powerful, like it has been in your life.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Part four of the book, four of four parts, is called You Are Being Nudged. And there's a period after each word to act kind of like an exclamation point, that you're being nudged and these things are happening all the time. And sometimes, like, you know, when these coincidences happen, it's like, okay, this is just a coincidence, like, you know, but no, when you get that feeling of whoa, it can happen for multiple reasons. One, it could be just to give you a hug, because sometimes, man, do we need a hug, you know? And sometimes,
especially
it's like,
these days when people aren't hugging.
Nope.
We all need hugs right now in this pandemic world. Yes.
Yeah, this quarantine social distancing thing, we need hugs. So yes, it's like we're getting a hug, like things aren't going great and we just need to feel a little bit better. It can be to cheer us on, like to say, yes, you can do it, or yes, you're on the right path, you know, you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. Or it can be to nudge you to do something. And when, you know, I've learned we're not supposed to ignore that. Like, I think if we all followed the nudges, that the world would be a much happier place. It's all like these moving parts. And if all the parts are moving the way they're supposed to, then it can be a magical world.
Yeah.
So don't ignore it.
Absolutely. It's a choice. I really feel like you can ignore the nudges if you want to, or you can choose to believe that it's something else. And it feels so much better just to believe that it's something else, that you're not alone, like what you write in your introductory, especially for those that have lost a loved one, like a father, like you, or a husband or a wife, or, you know, a child, where if you believe that there are signs of them everywhere, if you just pay attention, that could be a really beautiful way to help grieve as well. So you talk in the first part about your dad, the story of your father, your relationship with him all the way up until the day that he had passed away. And I didn't know your dad, but I fell in love with him reading this part of the book. He is funny. He is full of life. He is somebody that I can tell people just love to be around. How Yes. hard was it for you to write about your dad?
Dad totally was the life of the party. Like, and it's been so fun. Like, since he died, so many people like I've met just in everyday life. And somehow it comes up that he was my dad and everybody's like, oh my gosh, Bernie, I love Bernie. Bernie is the best, you know? And so, yeah, it was great. After I graduated from college and got married, we lived away. We lived outside, like in the Quad Cities and down by St. Louis for several years. And then we moved back when our kids were really young. And we were so very, very close with my mom and dad. Like we did everything with them. And like our friends were my parents' friends, you know, like they did everything with us. And so that was great. And so when, you know, we're up, dad has this aneurysm and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, things will never be the same. Like this is the, no, I like my life. I don't want things to change. Like, please, let's just go back to normal. Let's just keep things the way they were. And so it was really hard getting used to our new normal, you know, and it's like, it, you know, because they were such a part of our everyday life and, you know, it was really, really hard. And it was, and grief is such a mysterious thing. We all do it differently, you know, and you can be going through the steps and years can go by and you're thinking, okay, I'm in a better place now. I'm all good. And then something just sets you off and all of a sudden I'm a blubbering mess. You know, I am a crier. I say that multiple times in the book. I am a crier. I can cry at the drop of a hat. But yeah, like you're like, whoa, where did that come from? You're just over. Mm-hmm.
Did that happen at all when you were writing this book about your dad?
Oh my gosh. All the time. Like it still happens. Like things still happen. And yeah, it was part one was one of the reasons why it took me so long to actually get this book out there. Just because it was so hard. It was so, you know, to lose a piece of love from your life. That's tough. That's really tough. And I feel like I'm getting all choked up now just thinking about it. Like,
it's tough. Grief, I think, is, in my opinion, one of the hardest emotions that anybody will ever go through. And in reading the book in part one, where you tell the story of your dad, I didn't know him, but you wrote it so well and you wrote about him so well. And I knew what was coming and I was dreading it because I was falling in love with this guy and who he was and how fun he was and who he was in your life and your husband's life and your family's life. And I almost didn't want to get to the end of the chapter because I knew I would be grieving the loss of somebody that I was just, you know, reading about so much. And right. So great job. You know, you're a first time author and the way that you write is in such a way that I really felt what you were going through at the time. And so I can only imagine how difficult it must've been reliving that. Right. I wanted to go ahead.
I was just going to say it's all through love. Like the reason why grief hurts so bad is because we loved so much. So that's really actually something to be celebrated. So
yeah, for real. Don't grieve the loss. Be glad that it happened. Yeah. In the book you write, I want to get back to the nudge just for a second, because I love what you wrote here. And I think it's really important for people to understand this nudge. You say, have you ever had the experience when a thought popped into your head and you think, where in the heck did that come from? Because your line of thought was nowhere near this. You know, it came from somewhere else. Let's call it an impression. The thoughts were not created by me, but rather impressed upon me, upon my heart. It was felt rather than thought. I love that. I've had this happen before.
Yeah.
And sometimes I pay attention and sometimes I don't. Until after I read your book, and now I'm going to be paying more attention to those things. What is the underlining message that you would like people to do when they have that feeling that they've been had an impression brought upon them?
Well, I think we need to realize that that is a connection that we all have, that we are all capable of, to have to connect to this superpower of love. So when we feel that connection, it's going to make us just feel joy. It's a joyful feeling, which I think is really what we're supposed to be. Like I always say, I think life is meant to be fun. So if we're enjoying life, and to feel that connection is such a help, because we feel loved, we feel guided, like we have both said here, we're not doing this thing called life alone. So when we can just see that and step back and recognize, wow, I really am connected. Like that wasn't something I created. It was impressed upon me. It was put within me, or it came from without of me. Like it's a piece of us inside, and we just need to let it come out.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love when you say life is meant to be fun, and people can finish that sentence in any way that they want. So for them and for the audience listening, I would love for you to take a moment to consider, what is life meant for you? Life is meant to fill in the blank. And whatever follows, like that you fill in the blank, that's what you're going to get in life. So if life is meant to be hard, if life is meant to be challenging, if life was meant to be sad, and whatever you finish, you're going to focus and find all of those things in the world. You're going to find sadness. You're going to find it hard. You're going to find challenges. But when you choose to fill in the blank with a different term, something that's going to bring more light and love to your life. Like Michelle, life is meant to be fun. And guess what? You're like one of the funnest people I know. You and your family, and just who you are in general, you and your husband, Larry, have so much fun. And so you're a really good shining example of this. For me, life is meant to be lived fully and happy. And I will find ways in order to do that, even more so now that I'm actually living in that and read this book, to pay more attention to the nudges of saying, hey, here's an opportunity for you to really have that kind of life. So really be careful, everybody listening, about how you fill in the blank with that. One thing that
I love, I totally believe that our thoughts create our feelings, that create our emotions, that create our beliefs. And that is what creates our life. Like you said, that's what you're going to attract. So this is like a chance to choose better. So if you feel really crappy and you're down low, you don't have to choose to all of a sudden be at the very top and be exclaiming woohoo, but just choose to feel better. And then each day it gets a little bit easier and you step up higher. People can't see me. I'm like lifting my hands up in the air, but it's like taking a step. Like I'm going to choose to feel better than where I am right now.
I love that. Yes. It's a choice. 100%. Less of why am I feeling this? Why? Where's this coming from? Why? More trust that you were meant to feel this for some reason, live in it, love it, feel it, and the answer will come. It will present itself about what it's supposed to mean.
Right. Sometimes when we feel really cruddy, it's because we heard that negative voice. So we've talked about this impression of feeling the voice and hearing the voice that's the positive and the love and all that. And we all have this negative voice, and some of us it's louder than for other people, but some of us we focus too much on that negative bully voice. And so sometimes you just need to say, step aside, I don't want to play that game. I'm going to choose this instead. Yeah. So we need to not take on those thoughts, feelings, and emotions that go along with what that voice could be telling us.
Yeah, that is so important what you just said, because as a life coach, what I know is that people they think they're alone in their negative thoughts. They think their thoughts sometimes are a sign that they shouldn't do something, that they're the only mm-hmm. ones that have this loud negativity coming in. When the truth is, everybody has negative thoughts that come up. It's how the subconscious brain works. Everybody has the negative thoughts. So when what you had just said about when it comes in, just let it go, push it away. Don't allow for it to manifest into your world, because we'll never get rid of the negative thoughts. It's not about getting rid of the negative thoughts. It's about managing the negative thoughts. And you just said so beautifully, a really good way in which you, and you teach also in your book, can help manage those negative thoughts.
Right, right. I've heard like, okay, so when this negative bully voice comes up, don't let it take over and start driving. Like it's a hitchhiker. Let him sit in the back seat. It's like, okay, you sit back there, but you be quiet. I'm driving. So
don't let that. I love that. Yes. Yeah, so really, really good.
I don't even remember where I heard that, but I love it too. Don't let that bully drive.
That's right. Yes. So, what I love also about this book is the discussion questions. After every chapter, or let's see, what do we call it?
Every part. Yep. Yeah. Part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yep.
Yes. After every part are discussion questions. You read, get a lot of really amazing information, but it doesn't end there. Michelle in this book really wants for you to think about what it means to you, all of these things that read in the book. So for example, part one at the end, after her father had passed away, the whole chapter one is about her father and the coincidences that have come up, how she had chosen to see those things as the blessings and signs. One of the discussion questions is, have you ever lost a loved one unexpectedly? And who was it? How did it affect you? What was different about holidays or other events after they passed? So important to journal about those types of experiences. Don't keep it in your head. It's worth writing about, getting it out on paper. This is a self-help book also with these discussion questions.
Definitely, definitely. And so in the book, at the end of each part, there are some discussion questions. But then if you go to my website, which is michelleprochazka.com, and you go to the free resources page, you can download a PDF, and it's really pretty and nice and colorful. One thing I love the cover of my book. It's like lots of fun, bright colors. So the discussion questions also have those fun, bright colors. So, but it's a way to dig in deeper. You have to apply this. Don't let it be shelf help. Don't let it sit on a shelf and that's not going to help you. You have to take action and do some of the things. Like part three is all how to's. So I have like 10 different steps of different things and techniques to incorporate to dive deeper and make this connection. But so you can go to my website and get the full list of the questions, the discussion questions. But also on my website, on the courses tab, you can have me. It's like me diving deeper with you. You know, you can do it by yourself as a self-study or in a group. And I have video discussion questions where I'm going through all of the questions. And so I don't even know how many questions there are, but it's, so you can do it, like I said, in your group or by yourself, just to dig deeper, because I talk a little bit deeper about each question then. So that's a fun way to, one of the fun ways to dig deeper.
Really good. This could be like book club type style with your friends or your church group or whatever it may be. So I love that part.
I do too. Yeah.
Part two is God is. And this is where you really start getting into the coincidences. And one of the things you talk about is a God incident. Did I say that right?
Yes, God incidents.
So tell me about that.
So it's just another word for a coincidence that's not a coincidence, you know. So when we see these things, once we can, like, even just take the idea in that maybe that wasn't a coincidence, just start there, like, okay, maybe that wasn't a coincidence, and then you can let it grow from there. But it's recognizing that it wasn't just a mere by chance thing, because there are, like, so many things going on around us that we have blinders on. We're, like, going through life with blinders on and not noticing all the magic around us. And like I said, it's fun, you know, when we noticed it. So it's like things that it's like each one's kind of like a little miracle. It's like, whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like there had be something behind that. Like there is a higher power working things here.
Yes. And you outline it so well in the God is part. And I want to read just a little bit to give the audience an idea of what you mean by God incident. If you don't see big signs, it doesn't mean you're not seeing signs of God. Just because there isn't a giant billboard sign with your name at the top, a very profound message, and then God's signature at the bottom, doesn't mean God isn't communicating with you. We need to find joy in all the little things too. All those little things no one else would find any significance in, they all count. They're all ways the universe is communicating with us. They all have value. And then you tell this story, which I love so much. A few years ago, we, which I believe was you and your husband, Larry, were at a live concert several days before the start of Sturgis Falls, which is a festival that we have in our hometown every year. We ran into some friends of ours and we were all talking about how much we love Sturgis Falls. Our friend Chris talked about how much she loved all the food and listed off all her favorite things, including mini donuts. I love mini donuts, but if I ate a whole bag, I would be miserably on the edge of vomiting. So I chimed in and how, yes, they were delicious, but I really only ever just want one. I don't want a whole bag of them, just one. And I would be thrilled. I just need to sample that delicious taste and then I'd be done. Let's just, first of all, take a moment and say, yes, mini donuts are the most fabulous thing on this earth. Yes. Okay. A few days later, during Sturgis Falls, Larry and I were at the park where the mini donuts were sold. We had to walk around the crazy long lines of people waiting forever for that mini donut. Yeah, mini donuts. Okay, if anybody's listening that's not from the Midwest, I think mini donuts are pretty much a Midwestern thing.
And oh, are they?
I think so.
They should be everywhere.
They should be everywhere. Yes. To get mini donuts at the Sturgis Falls celebration, there are crazy long lines because they are so delicious. So what you did is you scoured the line looking for someone I knew well enough who would just give me one of their donuts. That's all I wanted, was one donut. No luck. As we continued to our destination, I went on and on once again about how I just wanted one donut. As we walked down the sidewalk away from the masses, you'll never guess what was right in the middle of the sidewalk. Okay, so maybe you can guess. Yes, it was the most perfectly round, pretty little donut that you ever did see. Usually they are flattened and misshapen from being smushed in a bag with 23 other little donuts, but this one was beautiful. It was perfect. I stopped right in front of that pretty little donut. I admired it. Then, no joke, I looked up at the sky and said, "Thanks, God. But next time, can you put it on a napkin?" I love that.
Yeah. And it's like, seriously, like, how does that happen? Like, and somebody's like, "Oh yeah, somebody just dropped it." Like, really, it was so perfect that little fact about that stood out to me. And it's like, wow, like, yeah, there really is something magical going on here that was right in front of me. It was, And like I said, God can be freaking funny.
God can be funny, or maybe it was your dad.
Right. I mean,
so many things that it could be. And again, you had a choice to go, "I can't believe somebody had one donut and they let it go like that. Oh my gosh, how could somebody not eat that one donut and then walk away?" But no, you went, "Oh my God, look at what this is." This is the power of paying attention. of being super intentional about focusing on what's happening just in your everyday life. When you're at a festival, when you're just walking around, when you're at the park, pay attention. And if you pay attention, you can find little signs like this.
Exactly. Yeah. Awesome. And don't just let it slip by as some everyday common occurrence.
Exactly. Part three, you had mentioned earlier, which is your how-to part. Mm-hmm. And your how-to part was, you know, specifically designed so that other people could actually have different modalities and how it is that they focus and find God. And for example, how to pray, how to be open-minded, how to meditate, and so on. And I love this part of the book because you don't just write about meditation or praying, but it's more educational. Like I said earlier, self-help book in that way. This part with the discussion questions is, to me, it felt like a beginner's guide to how to invite God into your life in all different ways, like the prayer and the meditation and et cetera. So how have these things made an impact in your life?
Well, at times it's actually like totally floored me. It just reiterates like when I started doing these things, and it kind of like, I've always believed in the power of prayer. I don't ever remember a time in my life that I didn't. So then I started doing meditation, and I'm not like some guru that sits cross-legged on the floor and all that. I'm like, cause that would hurt. I might not ever get up off the floor. That doesn't sound like fun. I'm not going to relax if I'm in pain. So like, I just started like trying to figure out how to calm my mind and whatnot. So then I started with that. And then I'm like, I need to be more intentional about it. Cause it all started in yoga when we would do it during final relaxation at the end of class. That's all fine and dandy. And I did that for, I don't know, at least 10 years before I started like intentionally every morning starting my day with quieting my mind for 20 minutes. And you don't have to start at 20 minutes. Like in the book, I'm very, very friendly to beginners, you know, and saying start with 2 minutes, start with 5 minutes, you know, and then just build up. But I really do think it's a great thing. One thing I was very kind of reluctant to write about. So the chapter after meditation is free writing. And when I experienced that, that has to be one thing that like totally floored me. Like, whoa, I really, really, really am connected. So some people might not know what that is. I probably, when I first heard that term, thought, well, okay, this free writing is just like something you do in like a writing class or a journalism class or something, you know, and you just let the thoughts flow and you just write and write and write. Well, I somewhere along the line was exposed to this topic of clearing your mind and just letting the thoughts come, like don't propagate the thoughts, don't create the thoughts. Just let them flow. So I had heard of the situation. I don't know. Do you want me to tell the Ed Sheeran story?
Let's hear the Ed Sheeran story.
Okay. So no, I didn't meet Ed Sheeran, but my friend Steph and I, and Steph was kind of a saint in the starting of my writing process because she knew I wanted to write this book and I really needed an accountability partner. So we would go to a coffee shop once a week, just so that I could work on my book. And then she was in grad school and she could do her grad school work. And so we've been doing this, you know, every week for we did it for a couple of years. And so at one point then we would always sit in these like club chairs by the fireplace in this coffee shop. And so we're sitting there and one day then this other guy comes and sits in one of the other club chairs and we all just keep working. We started out that time, Steph and I, before the guy came and sat down, like she was telling me about problems that she was having with her son and a whole situation they had going on in their house, you know, and I was talking about my fears of how can I write this book, you know, and it's such a, you know, because really when I think about somebody that would write a book about God, you know what I think of? I think of the Saturday Night Live character, like Dana Carvey's character that was the church lady.
Oh, the church lady. Yes.
You know, and I'm like, I am so not the church lady. Like I dance on top of furniture. You know, I do things that the church lady would scowl at. So I'm like, how can I do this? So, you know, so back at the coffee shop, I'm talking to Steph about my fears of writing a book on this topic. So anyway, this guy comes down and sits in this club chair, and he kind of looks like a tall Ed Sheeran. Okay. And so he just sits down, he starts reading his book. Steph and I are just working away. And then we were going to leave to go to yoga class. So we start packing up our stuff. And then the guy kind of strikes up a conversation and says, so how's your day going? We're like, oh, it's great. You know, and we're just making a little small talk. I'm like, so I say to him, so how about you? And he's like, good. I just finished this book, like actually right then. And he proceeds to tell us not like a 30-second synopsis, but like a 5-minute, like tells us all about this book. But, and we're like, wow, this guy's really digging this book. But so we are listening to what he's saying, and Steph and I are both like shooting glances at each other, like, oh my gosh, because everything he said either related to her and like her situation with her son and that whole thing that was going through, and like she was connecting with specifics of like location that he was talking about. I mean, he was telling us details of this book. And then I was totally relating because like he actually said that there's this author in this book and he didn't know how to do it. And he was going to talk to the stadium full of people and that he needed to just let God speak, you know? And so I'm like, wow, like there were just a lot of details that he said. And we were like both totally floored. All right. So Steph and I used to get in our separate cars and we drive to yoga. While I'm in the car, I'm like, I had heard of free writing as a way to maybe get answers to a problem that you have or a situation. I had never done it, but I thought, I'm going to suggest that to Steph. Steph's a you know, open-minded person. She's like, I'm like, I bet she would maybe do this. So we get to yoga and I set up my mat and I go to talk to her because she was the instructor of the class. I go up to the front of the room to talk to her. And I'm going to say, you know what you should try is free writing. And she, before I even can say that, she's like, you know what you should try is free writing. Oh. And I was like, what? Like so many people, like so many of my friends, like would have probably never even heard of this concept, you know? So I'm like, she was literally suggesting to me what I was just going to suggest to her. And I was like floored. And so I'm like, okay, I get home after yoga and I'm like, I can't suggest it without actually doing it, especially since somebody suggested it to me. So I'm like, okay, big flashing lights, like do it, try it. So I sit down. I sat down and meditated for like 5 minutes just to clear my mind and clear my thoughts. And I always started out with that. And I sat down with a pen and paper and started writing, and I was floored with what came through, you know, and it was all just like reassurance and whatnot. But there are things like words that came out that wouldn't have been my thoughts. And that's like that same impression feeling that we were talking about earlier. You're like, I was like, wow. And so I started doing that free write practice more often. And I started going to the computer and typing it. Well, then it started evolving more and more. I started closing my eyes and typing and just letting whatever came through come through. I have had to Google words, the meanings of words that have come through when I've done this. And that's how I know, without a doubt, I am connected. And so it's like, you know, there are words that I may have heard of before, but I'm like, I don't really know what that means and how it relates. And when I Google it, I'm like, totally makes sense.
Wow.
Now, how do you riddle me that, Batman? How does that work?
That's amazing. And when you were done with your free writing and you were having all of these like revelations, like these words that you wouldn't even normally use, was there a message that you feel like you were meant to have from this free writing? Like, what was the end result that you got from that experience?
Sometimes it, because it's totally had come through in a vernacular that is not mine. Like, it's like, that's not how I talk. So some of it, I think there's meaning there and I didn't get, but most of the time I'm like, oh my gosh, like totally. And it's all about this belief thing and how everybody, because I was so scared of the people that, you know, because that was one of the scary things about writing a book about God is some people are very opinionated about God, you know? So I'm like, I can't do this. That'd be like, people are going to eat me alive, you know? And so that I had that worry. And so a lot of the things that came through was like to not worry, but it also a lot of the things that came through are in the book. Like I don't point it out and say this came through in a free write, but a lot of parts 2, 3, and 4, after doing a free write, I'm like, wow, this is really good. I should put it in the book. So that wow. is how a lot of the book was written, was things that came through when I did wow. that free writing practice. So very I cool. highly suggest, I know it sounds really weird and like, oh my gosh, this Michelle girl must be a total Fruit Loop, but I really do like, just try it, you know, start with meditation and practicing clearing your thoughts, because that's how you can realize that it's like, whoa, this didn't come from me. You know, if you try yeah. the meditation and then doing a free write.
Yeah. And this is where open-mindedness comes from. Like what you write about in your book, if you're open-minded enough to really see the beauty in everyday life and the coincidence, the God incidences, all of those things that are coming up, it can change your life for the better. And so people can think you're a Fruit Loop and still read the book and still, if they're open-minded enough, try the free writing. Instead of judging, like try it, give it a right. shot. See what right. comes up for you.
What's it gonna hurt?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. I love the Ed Sheeran story.
Being open-minded is chapter one of the how-to section, because you really do for some of these need to be a little open-minded and just give it a shot.
Yeah, good. One of the how-tos also is how to fill your bag of tricks.
Yes.
Ooh, tell us more about that.
So like I said, with the thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and mood and emotion, like all that creates our life. It creates our reality. And so we need to be on a happier, higher note to really create the good, happier, higher, good feeling stuff that we really want in our lives. So it's all about, because the chapter before that is hold on to the feeling. And so hold on to the feeling is just that joyful feeling, like how, what can we do to get there? So filling your bag of tricks are like, just what are some things that you can do that usually make you feel better? And so for me, like I always can tell if I've skipped more than one day of meditation. Meditation is huge, huge for me. Nothing spectacular happens usually like while I'm meditating, but it's the effects that I can tell afterwards. Like, you know, I can spill something all over the floor. And whereas I used to maybe like freak out and like, I get so agitated. I'm like, I guess I'm going to clean that up now. So like, I can tell when I start feeling a little more agitated, I'm like, oh, I haven't meditated yet. I better go do that. So meditation is definitely one for me. Music is huge for me. I know that is for you too, but yeah. I am a dancer. I am one of those people that I'm like, dance like no one's watching. That is full on me. Even if there is a crowd of people, I'm not afraid to go out in the middle of a dance floor all by myself and dance, because I love it. But, I don't think there's ever a day that I'm not just alone in my house dancing. I have music going, like, and then I created, and I know you're big on this one too, a pick-me-up playlist. And I have a playlist, and I have it on my Amazon Music account. And so all I have to do is tell my Amazon speaker. It just really does make me feel better. So there's, I point out a lot of different ways and different things. Exercise, getting out in nature, sunshine, light. Like if it's a cloudy day, I turn on all the lights in my house. You know, I just need that light. Or, you know, there's just a lot of different things that we can do to keep our mood up. And I think that we have a better connection then when our energy level is more positive and higher. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think having a bag of tricks is very important.
Yeah. And so what you're doing in this chapter is really inviting people to create their own bag of tricks,
right?
And what works for them. And when I'm feeling this way, but I want to be feeling this other way, what are those things? What is at my disposal? What can I create for myself in order to choose to be in a happier state?
And what you just said, what works for you, I say that a lot throughout the whole book. There are a million ways to do everything. So do what works for you. And with coincidences too, I want to say this is like when something means a lot to you, don't expect everybody else to get it because that's not what matters. It only matters how it makes you feel. So that's one of the other how-tos is to record. So when you have something, a coincidence, a God instance, a holy bleep moment, and whatever you want to call it, when you have something like that, I encourage people to record it in some way. Write it down, make a little video, a voice recording, whatever, so that you can revisit that. And then you'll get that feel good feeling. So that can be something else in your bag of tricks, is to revisit how you felt in that situation. But definitely it's do what works for you.
The fourth part of this book is about being nudged. And we've talked about what that nudge is and the impressions and all of those things. And when I was reading that chapter of the book or that part of the book, I started thinking about all the ways in which I've been nudged, because I strongly believe in being nudged too. And reading it in your book just solidified that it's something. Like before I read your book, I was like, well, that feels like I'm supposed to be doing this. Like I was being nudged. But then when I read about it in your book, it's almost like when somebody else says it too, that you trust and love, then you go, okay, maybe it really is something. Like you don't trust yourself. But when somebody else
says it, then you're like,
right, and validation and all of that. So I was like, okay, let me think about all the ways in which I've been nudged. And one specific thing that came up for me, and I think it was in one of your discussion questions that had me thinking about it, was starting this podcast. I kept getting this feeling, as you call it, of getting my voice out to more people, getting people on this podcast that have stories and inspiration to share with others. Like there's so much to learn from people that have been through things in their life. And this was all coming to me in beautiful authors and books that are being created like yourself that people really need to know about. At that time, I didn't know that's what it was going to be. The nudge was you need to do more. When I read your book and then that part four where I had those questions and I was asking myself about those things, it just kept coming up for me that somebody needed to hear it. And I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was, but somebody needs to hear it. So, okay, podcast, have amazing people on the podcast that talk about serious issues that and challenges that they've had in their life, abuse and just horrible abuse, and how they came out of it, sharing their brave story. And somebody had commented on one of the podcasts that changed their life, listening to that podcast.
Oh my gosh, isn't that awesome?
Yes. And so that was it. To me, I went, that was the it.
Yep.
And I don't need to have 100 other people going and change my life too. It was just one person.
Yeah.
And that's all I needed.
And that was a message that came through to me in writing the book too. It's like, it doesn't matter how many people, like even if I can get one person, although like I think everybody can benefit from this, but even if I get one person, my publishing coach would say, you know, who is your audience? Who's your target audience? And I'm thinking in my head, everyone. And then he actually says, don't say everyone. And I'm like, but really it is for everybody to what, no matter where their belief is right now, they can believe bigger.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, yeah. So even if I can just get one person to believe bigger and make that connection, and you say, share your story, is part of part four. It's one of the chapters. You know, so, you know, when these things happen, share your story with others, because that's going to help them figure out how they can see their own connection.
Yeah.
You know, and once again, don't worry about what others think. So we do really do need to follow that nudge, follow through with the nudge.
Yes, so absolutely.
You are being nudged.
Yes. Beautiful.
Share that, share, act on it, whatever it is. And it changes. It's different all the time. Like I said, it could be a hug. It could be, you know, cheering you on. It could be guidance, or it could be saying, hey, you need to do this.
Yes. And when we are staying in a place of fear, well, what's everybody going to say? That type of, you know, like what you went through a little mm-hmm. bit.
Big
we're
folks.
And everybody does it. We all do this. And what I offer, because I have to do this for myself too, is when we have that fear, we're focusing on ourselves as opposed to focusing on what other people are going to get from what we have to share. So if you're somebody who is afraid to share your story, then that just simply means you're focusing more on yourself, which we all do, just automatically comes up in that way. How am I going to be judged or rejected by my story? And instead switch it into who needs to hear the story. And you don't even need to know the answer to that. By you being nudged, it simply means somebody does, and you don't even need to know who that is.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We're supposed to focus on our why. You know, and not all the what ifs. Don't, or the yeah buts. Oh my gosh. I know so many people that are so good at yeah buts. And I'm like, that is not a good thing though. I can't do yeah but this or yeah but that. Stop with the yeah buts. You can do it.
Exactly.
It's okay. Yes. You know, and trust, and you don't have to know how. You don't have to see. Martin Luther King Jr. has a quote, like, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. And that has been so true for me, because I kept thinking, I don't know how to write a book. And then like, literally it would fall in my lap. Like like I said, publishing coach that I have, you know, like it kind of fell in my lap. And then it's like, well, I don't know. I kept trying to get the cart ahead of the horse too. And it's like, nope, just focus on where you are. And then the next step will be revealed. And it just, I mean, it keeps happening. Yeah. It's crazy. That's like, awesome. I have this video discussion questions that I talked about, but I'm also going to have online courses. So I was trying to figure out how that's going to look like, how are people going to get it? What platform or whatever. So I started trying to figure out like how I could have it on my website. And literally it showed up one day. Here's a platform. It's a really reasonable price that for you to use. Like, it just keeps showing up. And it is those awesome moments when it does. It's like,
awesome.
Oh my gosh. Moments. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And gratitude is another one of my how-tos. Like when that happens, just like be grateful. And say, I yell out, thank you all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I love that you said that about how you were actually asking the question as if you really wanted to know what the answer was. So for example, you didn't say, well, I don't know how to put it on my website, so I'm not sure what to do next. You said, how can I put this on a platform? What platform should I use? It's almost like asking the universe, and the universe will provide.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the big thing is belief, like to believe that, you know, so Believe you are connected. Believe that you will be guided. Believe in yourself that you can do it. Like, my big message is believe bigger in all that, but not, you know, not, this isn't just about a higher power thing or what the universe can do for you, what God can do for you. It is to believe it all. Believe that. Believe in yourself. Believe that you're not doing it alone, that you are guided, and just believe bigger. From wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Very important message. That's awesome. It's important for me that you wrote this book later in life, because my audience is 40 and older, and my mission is to inspire people to make the second half of their life still the best part of their life. So keeping their foot on the gas, doing things because of their age, and instead of not doing things because of their age. Mm-hmm. And so you writing this book, were you 49 when you started?
This process has been going on for over a decade. So I would say when I started getting the nudges, I was probably 40, I think. And so I'm about to turn 51. So it's been going on definitely over 10 years. Yeah. And yeah, I kind of thought, shouldn't I do this? Plus, like, now seeing where I am now and how things are exploding, I'm like, oh, and then I can do online classes and all this stuff. And I'm like, we're trying to figure out retirement right now. You know, like, why am I putting stuff on my plate when we're like talking about my husband retiring and where are we going to winter and these kind of things? And like, just trust it. Like, it's going to make retirement even better if I just trust it and just follow through. And that's the big thing. I'm like, I've been nudged. I can't ignore it. So here I go.
Awesome. And so for 10 years, you kind of were ignoring it a little, like, this is something, but then it really started to become stronger as you got older. And I know that I was introduced to it was in a vision board class that I was instructing that you were in, and you were sharing your vision board. And this was probably what, 3 years ago?
Maybe? I'm going to guess like 3.
Yeah. And you were sharing your vision about writing a book, and you had, you were telling us all about your dad and what this was going to be. And then 3 years later, I mean, here it is. It's an actual reality. You made this come true for yourself. And this is so important for people who have a dream or that have a goal, that want to leave a legacy behind, that there's no time like the present. Get Michelle's book and get that nudge yourself. Learn from her book how to feel that nudge in everyday life and why you really need to follow through with that goal, no matter what your age is. It's important for people to do. So, Michelle, how can people get this book?
Well, it will be available on Amazon as we're talking. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but as we're speaking, the ebook is already available for pre-sales. So the book releases on April 26th, which just happens to be my birthday. So it's a big party day. And anybody that knows me knows that I love a good party. but the launch party is on April 22nd. So that is something that anybody can watch. And because I'm going to be giving away a bunch of stuff. I'm going to be giving away some author signed copies of the book. I have some really cool stickers that are like waterproof. So you can like put them on a cup. I have one on my coffee cup and water bottle. So there's those. I'm going to be giving away some of those video discussion questions that I talked about. So there's a lot of that. So my book is already in pre-sales on Amazon. The ebook is right now. The paperback is soon to come, and the hardback also. So I'm hoping that all those will be available in the pre-sales before April 26th when it releases, but it will also be available in wherever books are sold. Not necessarily that you will find it there, because I don't really, you know, they have to order it. So, but the easiest way and the for sure way is just go to Amazon, either look up Michelle Moyne Prohaska or Holy Bleep, That Was Not a Coincidence, and it'll show up and you can order it. And so anybody that orders it during the pre-sales time, which will be basically from now until April 26th, I will send them a sticker, like a book plate that is an author signed. I will, like, just like me signing your book, but I'm just going to send you the sticker that you can put inside the cover, and it'll be like you have an author signed copy. And then nice. You also can pick out your choice of one of the three cool stickers that I have. So anybody that pre-orders can go to my website, michelleprohaska.com/launch-party. And there's a place on there that says, I bought a book, and just click that button and you can fill out that form. And I will very happily send you some stuff, some goodies.
Very fun. And your launch party is going to be on your Facebook page, right? Can you tell us the name of the Facebook page?
It's Michelle Moyne Prohaska Author is my Facebook page. So that will be a live thing. So people that are watching live can win some stuff. But also if you watch during the replay anytime that weekend, so before the book launches, April 26th, which is a Monday. So anybody that orders or watches during that time can win some of the prizes.
Yeah.
So if you comment and whatnot, even on the replay. So it's going to be fun, and you're going to be my host. So I'm super excited about that.
Excited. We can bring
the fun. So you know we're going to have fun.
Yes, absolutely. Michelle Prohaska, author of Holy Bleep, That Was Not a Coincidence. Learn to take your belief out of the box and see the magic in everyday life. A beautiful book. Congratulations again, Michelle. Thank you so much for putting on, coming on the podcast and sharing it with my audience. And I can't wait to see what's next for you.
I can't either. I thank you so much, Tracy. This has been awesome. And I can't wait to see what's in the future either.
Thank you for listening to the Age Slayers podcast. If you are interested in learning more about coaching with Tracy, visit her webpage at coachedbytracy.com.